Well, good job on the song, Judy and Adelise. I think Jay Roberts and I are going to have to repent of pride before this service is over, but thank God for that music. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 15, and Paul had heard two things about the church at Ephesus. Paul was in prison at the time. He was probably under house arrest in Rome. He had heard from those who'd come from Ephesus to report on what was going on at the church there in Ephesus. He had heard that there was two things that were said of them that I think brought great satisfaction to his heart and to his mind. First, they told him, Paul, the people at Ephesus in the church have squarely placed their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. Their faith is strong. And then they also told him that the church at Ephesus showed the evidence of a great love, not only for God and for Jesus Christ, but a great love for each other. And so these two things in the church at Ephesus, Paul heard about, was their faith and their love, their trust in Jesus, their surrender to him as Lord, and their love for each other. And hearing that brought thanksgiving to his heart. What we need to understand is that believing in Jesus always results in loving one another. We need to remind ourselves of that over and over and over again. When we look at each other, when we look at other people that we worship with, sometimes when we look at other people we have problems with, we need to understand that you can't have true faith in Jesus Christ and then harbor something against your brother or your sister. Faith is always going to produce love. It's always going to produce within us a surrendering of our life to Jesus Christ. When we talk about putting our faith in Jesus, we're also talking about Jesus being Lord and boss of our life. So many times we think that the lordship of Jesus is optional when it comes to experiencing him as Savior, but it's not. Jesus is Savior and Lord of your life. He's boss of your life. You can't have one without the other. And one of the greatest questions we need to ask of ourselves as believers is, if my faith and trust is squarely put in Jesus, then how obedient am I to him? How true am I to his word? What he tells me to do, does that make a difference in my life? Do I treat Jesus' words for me as optional? Or do I hear Jesus' words into my life as he speaks into my life and what I'm supposed to be doing and how obedient I'm supposed to be? Do I look at those as being truly commands and not suggestions? We need to answer that question for all of us, because our relationship with Jesus Christ, its effectiveness in our following Jesus Christ, is determined by how seriously we take his word. And when Paul heard that they had a great faith, when Paul heard that they had a great faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, when Paul heard that they loved one another, he knew that something was going right in Ephesus. We need to ask ourselves about Christ's church ever so often, maybe every day. We need to ask that question of ourselves. What is going right in our lives about our relationship with Jesus? Do we possess a faith that results in loving others? So here in this scripture, Paul declares that he remembered the church at Ephesus in his prayers. Now, we noticed in the first of this chapter that he took time to talk to them about the blessings they have in Jesus Christ, how they have been chosen before the foundation of the world, how they've been adopted as sons and daughters of Jesus. He talked to them about how they had received the blessing of redemption and forgiveness and an inheritance that they will not only inherit when this life is finished, but an inheritance that we enjoy the foretaste of today. And he talked to them about the blessing that the Holy Spirit brings to each one of us as believers, and that he seals us for that day of redemption, and is a down payment for that inheritance that is coming. We enjoy those blessings. Those blessings make a difference in our life. It makes a difference in the way we live for Jesus Christ. And now, here in verse 15, after he says, I heard about your faith and I heard about your love for one another, he says, and I remember you with thanksgiving. He says, I pray for you. I pray for you. And every time I pray for you, it always starts by giving thanks to God for what you're allowing God to do in your life. Oh, if we would all live the kind of life that others could give thanks to God for. Isn't that something that we want people to say about us? That they can look at the way we live for Jesus, and they look at the way we follow him, and they look at our character and the way we live and say, you know, I give God thanks for you. You encourage me. You help me to see what it really means to live for Jesus. In fact, Paul says that he not only gives thanks to God for them, but he says he never stops giving thanks. He never stops giving thanks for them. For Paul, when he began to think about the people he had the opportunity to invest his life in and speak into, like in Ephesus and other churches that he planted, when he thought of them, he could not stop praying for them. Are there some people in your sphere of life, in your existence, in your relationships? Are there some people that you step back and you look at them and you understand, you know, I cannot stop praying for them. I cannot stop giving thanks to God for them. And I think what what Paul is trying to help us to understand about what it means to be a part of a church, what it means to walk with Jesus, what it means to be a part of a body of Christ, it means that we are a group of people who are constantly, consistently praying for each other. Praying for each other. In our passage, we are told that he never stops praying for them. I wonder why Paul thought that was so important. Why did Paul think it was so important that he continually lift up the believers in Ephesus in prayer? Why did Paul believe it was so important for him to lift up these people who had placed their faith in Jesus Christ and had a great love not only for God but for each other? I think it's because Paul understood that these men and women in Ephesus who'd given their hearts, their lives to Jesus, these men and women, boys and girls who were following Jesus, that they were prime targets for Satan. And he wanted to pray for them constantly and consistently because he knew that they were going to need to be strong. They needed to be strong in their walk. They needed to be, they needed to understand that Satan was there to try to deceive them and disrupt them. They needed to walk close to the Lord. He knew that they were prime targets for Satan's attacks. And so he prayed for them day after day. He prayed for them every time he thought about them. What we need to understand is believers today, what we need to understand as a part of the body of Christ is that we need to pray for each other. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to be praying for the children of our church. We need to be praying for our grandchildren, even if they don't attend here but attend other churches. We need to pray for all of those believers that we know who are trying to walk for Jesus Christ, because we need to understand not only we are prime targets for Satan's attacks, but they are too. Paul knew that the important thing that he needed to do, not only as a father of that church, not only as a church planter who introduced them to Jesus Christ, but he also needed to follow up by praying for them consistently. It is important to pray for each other. It is important to look at these verses that we just read, because we learn from Paul not only that we should pray for each other, but we also learn from Paul that that we should pray for what we should pray for, and also how we should pray for each other and for our church. And as we see how Paul prayed for the believers at Ephesus, we should replicate that same kind of heartfelt prayers for each other. And so I want to just point out some things here over these next few Sundays about how Paul specifically prayed for the believers in Ephesus. And this morning I want us to focus, especially first of all, on how he focused on thanksgiving. He gave thanks for their faith in Jesus Christ. He gave thanks for their dependent surrender and belief and trust in Jesus. He gave thanks that they saw him as Lord. He gave thanks for their love for each other, and evidence of that love for each other led to prayers of thanksgiving. His thanksgiving never stopped, and his prayer for them never stopped either. Sometimes we forget that the greatest expression of our faith in Jesus Christ is our love for each other. And the greatest expression of our love for each other is praying for each other and with each other and thanking God for each other. Sometimes we are better at talking about each other. We're better at talking about those juicy little spites of gossip about one another than we are about praying for each other. How many times have we heard something about a Christian brother and sister, and our last thought was to pray for them instead of being our first thought? Or maybe our first thought was, I need to share this with somebody. We need to watch that. We're better at sometimes talking about each other than we are at praying for each other. And so Paul's prayers were saturated with thanksgiving. Paul's prayer was consistent. Paul's prayer was every day. Paul's prayer did not stop. But he prayed and he asked in this verse, this first verse, he asked for specifically two things that would be true for the believers in Ephesus. Notice first that Paul asked that they would have the spirit of wisdom. Of wisdom. You know, James said that if anyone lacks wisdom, they should ask of God. You know what that tells us? That tells us that wisdom, the spirit of wisdom, doesn't come from something that we can achieve ourselves. Wisdom is not something that's humanly produced. You and I have difficulty in securing the kind of wisdom that is really wise. Our wisdom has some faults in it. But it just as Solomon discovered when he became king over Israel. And the one thing God said, you ask anything of me and I'll give it to you. And remember that Solomon, what Solomon asked for was not great wealth and not great armies. He asked, Lord, give me wisdom. Because he knew that wisdom was something that could only come from God. That wisdom that really made a difference only came from God. We're in the same situation, folks. If we want to live the Christian life, if we want to have the wisdom of living and making sense of life the way we need to, it can only come from God. And that can only come at the point where we simply say, God, I can't do this myself. I need you to give me what I need to be able to live the Christian life and live for you. So many times we mess up our lives and we mess up other people's lives because we think our wisdom is good enough. And what we need to do is get on our knees and humble ourselves before God and say, God, I need your wisdom. I need you to help me to live life in a wise way. Paul wanted them to have an attitude and a frame of mind that sought God's answers above their own in the world. And that these answers would form an understanding of how to live out their faith in God and their love for each other. that they would not only know what they should believe, but would have the wisdom to live it and behave it and apply it to their own lives and relationships. You see, so many times we think wisdom just amounts to what we know. But wisdom comes in at how we take what we know and use it. And what we need to have in our lives when we take what we know and we try to use it and apply it to our life is we need God's leadership. We need God's presence. We need His wisdom to know how to love people. We need His wisdom to know how to relate to people. It's not just knowing about Jesus, but it comes to the point where we want to know Him and live for Him. The spirit of wisdom is taking what we know and living it and allowing it to be used for the glory of God. How wise are you? So many times we tend to depend on conventional wisdom. And what we need to do is depend upon God's leadership and His word. But Paul not only says, look, I pray and I give God thanks for you every time, all the time. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for your love and your faith. He's not only saying, and I'm praying that you will have this spirit of wisdom, that it will guide you and help you to live for me. But he also says that he's praying not only for them to have wisdom, but for them to also have revelation. Revelation. Now, where does revelation come from? Revelation comes from God's word. And Paul asked that God would pull back the curtain for the Ephesus believers and that these believers would know and hear and see the truth of God's word. If you and I are going to be living by the revelation that God gives us, it depends upon what we do with this book. That's why it's so important. That's why we've put an emphasis this year on reading through God's word. Because it's as we read through God's word, God reveals to us His truth. It reveals to us how we should live. It reveals to us a strength and an understanding of what it means to follow Him. To experience a revelation from God is to experience His word. It's to know what God says and to hear what God says. And to read God's word and allow Him to reveal it to us. You remember when Jesus and His disciples were in Caesarea Philippi. Jesus asked them the question, who do men say that I am? Some of the disciples responded, well, some say that you're Elijah, come back from the dead. And some say that you're John the Baptist. And Jesus looked at them and said, but who do you say that I am? And it was Peter. It was Peter who said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Remember what Jesus told him? Jesus told him, Peter, what you say is true, but this isn't something you came up with yourself. God's Spirit has revealed this to you. You see, it's that same kind of revelation that Paul is praying that the church at Ephesus would have, along with the spirit of wisdom, that they would take His word and understand that from His word there is God's revelation of Himself. We can take it, we can believe it, we can stake our life on it. He speaks to us through His word. So he's praying. He's praying for the church not only to have this spirit of wisdom to be able to take what they know and to take the relationship with Jesus and actually apply it to their life and live it in such a way that people can understand that God is there and God is in their life. But he's also saying, I want you to understand that I have given you a revelation of God's word. I've given you my word. And it's a revelation to you about who I am and what I'm all about. And you can trust it and place your life on it. But why? Why having the spirit of wisdom and revelation? Why is that so important? It's because Paul knew that the only way they would ever, ever come to know God in a deep, abiding, and lasting way was if they opened their ears to his word and asked God to give them the wisdom to know how to follow it. Because in this final words of this verse, where he said, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. What? In the knowledge of him. See, what Paul is saying is, I want you to experience the revelation of God, and I want you to experience the spirit of his wisdom so that you can know God better. So as you can know who he is, and you know what he wants to do in your life, you can not only know and understand his character so you can live it out, but so that you can know and understand his work, so you can identify what he's doing around you and what he's doing in you and through you, and also that you might know and understand his will so that you may obey it and say yes to it and follow it, so that you can know how he fits in your life and how we fit with him. I want you to know that by his wisdom and revelation, you would know how to follow and walk with him. If you're having a hard time in your walk with God, maybe you're having a hard time when it comes to obeying, and sometimes you're having a hard time when it comes to saying yes to him, and you're saying yes to yourself, and you're just wondering, well, when will all this work out? It's not a matter of just needing to bear down in your own strength. It's a matter of understanding I need to know him better. And to know him better, I need to open myself up to his wisdom and to his word. You see, here's the thing. Praise always leads to prayer. Praise always leads to prayer. Paul spent time praising God for all the blessings that God has given to them that we just reviewed a while ago. Blessings always leads us to intercession. Paul is saying, I look at what you're doing, I look at what's going on in your life, and I give God thanks. Now let me tell you how I'm praying for you. You see, we can thank God for each other, but how are we praying for each other? How are we interceding for each other? Out of loving the saints and having faith in the Lord, we ask for wisdom and revelation. Is that so we can be arrogant? Show everybody how much we know? No. It's so that we can humbly come into God's presence and understand that the more he reveals to us and the more we understand his wisdom, the more humility we have, and the more it amazes us that God wants to use us and wants to share his work in us and wants to pull us along in his kingdom. God actually wants to pull back the curtain through experiences and reading his word and hearing his word and teaching his word. He wants to pull back the curtain for us so that we see who he is and so that we can follow him for who he is. Do you know him today? Are you growing in your knowledge of him? A lot of us in this room are well experienced. That's just the politically correct way of saying we're old. And if we're not careful, sometimes we think we know it all that there is to know. My wife reminds me every day that I don't know it all. Thank God for wives who are honest. What we need to understand is no matter how old we get here on earth, we will never know everything we need to know about God. We will never have made it. Because there's coming a day when Our faith will be made sight when these bodies wear out and God takes us to heaven, or when the rapture comes, or however it happens for us. And then we're going to see everything else that we didn't know. And it's going to be a lot. But because of our glorified minds and our glorified bodies, we're going to be able to understand it. And we're going to be able to praise God for it. But in the meantime, Paul says, I pray that you'll have the wisdom of God's Spirit. And that you'll be able to see things like God sees them. That you'll be able to see your life like God sees your life. You'll be able to see the world like God sees the world. And you'll be able to apply God's truths to the world and to your life in such a way that it will make a difference for you. And you will know him better because of it. And then he also says, I'm praying that you will also receive his revelation from his word. And that you will always understand and know that what God is talking about in his word is true. And it can be embraced and taken. And it can be lived out. That's what we need. That's what we need today. There are a lot of other things that Paul prays for the church at Ephesus for. And we're going to be seeing those over the next few Sundays. But could we today just simply say, Could we just take our prayer list and put them aside? Could we just take our requisition lists that we bring to God and say, God, I need this and I need that. And it'd also be nice if you could balance my bank book for this month, or it'd be nice if you could give me this or that or whatever. Could we just put aside all of our prayer list, all the things we're asking God for, and just realize that some of the most valuable things we could ask God for today is not some more stuff, not just some more material blessings, but sometimes the greatest thing we can ask God for is just simply say, God, help me to know you better so that I will know how I need to put things in my life, so that I'll know what I need to throw out of my life, so that I'll know what I need to preserve in my life, so that I'll know how I need to spend my time, how I can make the most of the time you've given me here on earth, instead of spending all my time asking you for the latest thing I've seen on a commercial. Father, help me to know what's really important. I need the Spirit of your wisdom, and I need your revelation in my life. Let's ask God for that. Maybe that's what we need to pray for this morning. And I want to ask you to bow your head where you are. And would you pray that prayer? Lord, give me the spirit of wisdom that Paul prayed that the church at Ephesus would have. And God, give me the revelation of your word that Paul prayed that the church at Ephesus would receive. And God, above everything else, help me to know you better. Father, thank you for your word. And I pray this morning that as we sing, you would speak to our hearts.